Okay, ladies, shiur in Derech Hashem. I don't know what shiur number it is. I lost my paper. 40-something. We're going to call it 48. Just so that we can... What?
48 ways.
Yeah. And it's Wednesday. And it's Yud Iyar, I believe. And it's April
25.
Not bad. Okay. And it's Yom Dalet, the Parshas... Emor, because we're in Eretz Yisrael.
And we're up to Derech Hashem, and we're up to section 2 and Peretz Gimel, paragraph Ches. And as Ramchal spoke out in his Akdama, first of all, we're in an area where I'm, you know, I said last time on Sunday, trying to extract some practical mussar and guidelines for our own lives, because he's really already in the upper spheres and just telling us how things work, what I call spiritual physics. He was starting paragraph 8, and he's true to the introduction, where he says, I'm not going to just throw a bunch of facts at you, because then you just get involved and you just get confused, and maybe you'll remember some of them, maybe you won't. I'm going to write a very, very... I'm going to deal with this the way you have to deal with a complicated subject. I'm going to very, very structured, like a math or, you know, a logic book. I'm going to learn first the general principles and then the specifics and then, you know, what you could derive from what. And as we go on, it'll get deeper and deeper and more specific and more specific. So we learned a lot about what governs people's lives, what governs people's entry into Olam Haba, Gehenna, and Gan Eden. Then we learned about what so many factors that could govern people's lives in this world that it's almost futile to try to figure out why something's happening to you. Almost futile. I say almost because, first of all, people go to the Rav and they ask him, and he's embarrassed to say, how do I know? So he makes up something, why is happening? That's one. And two is, I have to believe that a person's neshama will sort of, we'll call it intuition, but I think it's the neshama speaking to a person that's connecting with one of the various things we're learning. Anyway, he's going, and he's true to what he said, and that's what he keeps going into it deeper and deeper and deeper, and more nuances and more nuances and more nuances, and more subtle and more subtle and more subtle. In paragraph 8, he says a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush for Jewish hashkafa. It's going to sound... It's not the way we're used to thinking. It sounds like maybe a different religion, maybe, or it sounds like something that we don't really understand how it works. Because he's getting into the, again, as he goes on, he goes into it deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So he says, there's another factor, besides everything else we've said till now, there's another factor that's going to allow a person to get into Olam Haba. Remember, Olam Haba is not Gan Eden in Ramchal's world. Gan Eden is a holding station till if the Tchias HaMeisim, and then there's going to be Olam Haba. You only get into Olam Haba if you're perfect. But Ramchal explained how you become perfect. If you're on a certain level, so you deserve to go into Olam Haba, but you can't. You're not perfect. You know, it's not funny. If you think about what Olam Haba is, and you bond with Hashem in a way that we can't imagine, so it really makes total perfect sense that if you have any flaws, you can't be there. You can't bond with Hashem if you have a flaw. Hashem is perfect. How can you, like, merge? I don't know what I mean, just word, but there's some sort of merging and bonding with your ruchnius, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, every Jew has a neshama, a chelek elokam imal, and yet you rebond. So, taka, if you have any flaw whatsoever, if it's not perfect, it's not a fit. So it's not, it has to be logical. It just sounds hopeless, but it's logical. So he says there's various ways in which you get rid of your flaw. You can go to Gehenna for 12 months. That'll wipe it out. We don't know. Suffering wipes out flaws. In this world, suffering wipes out flaws. If you're lucky, it'll happen in this world. If you're not so lucky, it'll be Gehenna. If you're not a bad person, then you're just no way. No way you're going to go. Your existence will come to an end. And existence coming to an end is much more tragic than you say someone died in this world and their life came to an end. Because the life is only life in this world. Nothing. You know, what do we hope for at most? 120 years. Now you're talking nitzvies. So, okay, so we discuss various ways to have kapara, to have shuva. There's always shuva. He refers to tshuva, finally, at one of the last paragraphs. Tshuva wipes things clean. I told you being mevater to others wipes things clean. We don't know exactly how much or how or why, but... Now he's saying there's something else, because Hashem is about chesed. Hashem wants every kol Yisrael, Yisrael, chelek olam haba. Everybody, you of course deserve to be there, but the other fellows. But everybody really has a big fighting chance to get in. So now he's going to say another way to get in. And he's going to say as follows. And again, it's based on, there's always two things. Right? There's why Hashem structured it that way. And then in the Ramchal's world, there's no freebies. It's not like you turn on a light switch or by magic the light goes on. There always has to be what I call a spiritual physics. And that's the way it works. There's the reason and the way. The reason I want the light on is because it's dark, I want to be able to read. That's the reason. But the physics, the electricity, the idea of how to get the light to turn on from a switch on the wall is very, very complicated. We take it for granted and we don't think about it. But it's very complicated. Anyway, so he says there's another way to get a kapara and to be able to go into Olam Haba. That's the reason. Hashem is a Baal Chesed. I'm drawing out the suspense. Hashem is a Baal Chesed. Hashem wants everybody to get into Olam Haba. Hashem created, and remember, Hashem is in charge. Hashem created the world. Now he can do what he wants. He can let everybody into Olam Haba. He can just open the gates and say, you know, like in the zoo, what day is free in the zoo? Tuesday. There's one day that's free in the zoo. What?
There is?
Yeah, isn't there one day that's free? Is it Lawrence? Is Israel Museum also maybe has one day that's free? I don't know, I've never been anywhere. But there's no day that's free to get into all my book. Hashem did not want to do that because, as Ramchal said in the very first section, that would not be a favor. Hashem, when he does good, is the greatest good. And it's not good to give me a handout, despite the Democratic Party. So everything has to make sense and be deserved on a certain level, even if it sounds like a freebie. So he says, on the Milvat Kolzev, Yesh Ot Inyan Acher Nimshach, that results Mishnei Chelkei HaHanhoga Shazacharnu, from the two types of Hashgacha that we talked about, Ishius, the personal one, Vaklolis. Remember, we said Hashem looks at the whole chessboard, and every piece affects every other piece. And every time something happens to someone, it affects, like this. If we all understand, it affects the immediate family, and then it affects to some level the family that's not the immediate family, and then it affects their friends and their chevra and people that know them, and hopefully it would affect any Jew that hears about it. Right? It would affect. So Hashem takes everything into account. And Kelamunah Ve'enobel, everything has to be deserved and right and correct. So there's another angle that comes out of this idea that everything is both personal, on a personal level, and connected to everyone else, interwoven with everyone else. V'hu, kin yeshkifa ha-chokmo ha-el-yonah, this is where he's saying like the reason, the chokmo ha-shem, looked out, ha-kol ma-shem, ha-yoroi she-yum, say, on everything that would be appropriate to exist, in order to get everybody involved. Ha-bol, the tikkun ha-min, for the tikkun of the species, which is human beings, she-yeh-el se-min-nenu kibbutz ha-shleimim, that this group of shleimim will be formed and they will go into Olam Haba. So the Chan Olam Haba. Okay, so there's a new way. There's a new way that it's, we're going to think of a new way to make that happen. Barasa, the Chachma El Yayna Sur, perceived. It's not a freebie what we're about to learn. We're going to have to discuss why it's not a freebie. Shehayin in your nose land ma'ol, it would be entirely appropriate. Sheyiyah b'koach k'tzosam l'choil l'k'tzosam u'l'heitiz lahem. That a person could be such a tzaddik, such a good person, that he could drag someone along with him. Into Olam Haba. He can be moil, he can help someone avoid Gehenna and get into Olam Haba. I shouldn't say avoid Gehenna, avoid Kliya, avoid destruction, and get into Olam Haba. He doesn't elaborate on that mechanics. He's going to elaborate on what it is, but the final decision of, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down, is it's not final, that only a person who himself or herself worked on being perfect, with all the ways of Gehenna and punishments and Yisurim and sufferings, everything. It's not absolute that only someone that does it on their own, yiyem and anivnim b'kibbutz b'nei ha'olam haba. Ela, rather, gam mi shekavor yagi'uhu ma'esov, he has enough good deeds, shebi toloso ba'acher, he can hook up with someone else, he could be subsidiary of someone else, he could be an attachment to someone else. Zakai Mimenu, someone who's better than him, obviously, or else he wouldn't need that person. Yuchal Lehono Bishleimus, he could also be now included as a Shalem. He may Yikonet Bechlal Habu. Ella, of course, Sheyiyah B'Madrega Tachtona. She Madrega Sanitla B'Chaveru. He's not going to be like the other person. He's going to be on a much lower Madrega. He's going to be on the Madrega of someone that had to attach himself to someone else in order to be zochem. So that's a lower madrega than someone that does it with chusatzma. Again, he doesn't elaborate how it works. Right? We know that Rav Nachman in Breslau said he's going to drag people out again.
Oh, so this is like a Rebbe in the cinnamon.
What?
This is like a
cinnamon
Rebbe.
He doesn't say that though. You would think so. You would say that this is only true if, and maybe it is true, we would like him to say that this is only true if you attach yourself to this person in this world, and you learn from this person, and this person's your mentor, and you attach yourself to him, let's say like, I don't know if Hasidim would have ever do that nowadays, but like they used to do. Really attach themselves. I'm not talking about going and getting a piece of kugel and We're talking about they used to go into yechidus, and the Rebbe gave them mussar, and the Rebbe helped them get their spiritual lives in order, and some places still do that. That doesn't have to be chassidim or a Rebbe. It could be, I mean, some people believe that this is true if you go daven in a month on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? And there's a Gemara that Avraham Avinu stands by the gates of Ganem, and if he sees someone that is circumcised, he trades them out of Ganem. So that would cover really a heck of a lot of people, right? And what does it mean? And how does it work? And it could be talmidim of it. But he doesn't even say that. Uh-huh. It sounds like from what he doesn't say. I admit to being a little puzzled here. I don't know. Sounds like the huge tzaddik, the tzaddik that he's talking about, in Yerushalayim, or in New York City for that matter, will be able to help out some Jew in Paris or Mozambique. He doesn't speak out a condition that it has to be someone who had an attachment in this world. He doesn't say it. So I admit that I don't, you know. His reason, what's the mechanics? The reason is because Hashem's a Baal Chesed, he wants everybody to be Zochem. You can't tell him what to do. He created whatever type of world he wanted to. So he created a world in which the system allows for this to happen. Right? That's what you have to understand. I'm telling you the logic of the Rabchal. The logic is he wanted it to happen. So he created a world in which this happens, this dynamic occurs. But now you still have to explain how. There has to be, as I said, there always has to be some spiritual physics. And he will explain. And this is something that is heavy and something that should be very, very meaningful to us. And that is that all of Klal Yisrael are bound together. We're not really different people. We're just different people physically. But the whole Klal Yisrael is one nefesh, one big nefesh, one big goof, really. Some people are the ropes, some people are the arms, some people are the stomachs, some people are the feet, some people are, Tanya talks about this right at the beginning of Tanya, some people are the ochaves, some are the heels, some people are the heads. That's it. You know, he doesn't go further than that, but that's why it could happen. That would be the, it's all one, everybody's bound together, which should make us appreciate we have the Lo'echa Kamocha more, which should make us realize how bound up we are with every other Jew. That a system exists that a big tzaddik, we'll call it, can be zoche, can drag along, can affect the shleimus of another Jew. Maybe he's living in Mozambique. Now we don't know Hashem's shleimus. Maybe the person will for sure have to go to Gehenna. If there's a virus, he'll for sure have to suffer in this world and go to Gehenna. I don't know. We don't know. But he's saying another way for a person to get into Olam Haba. Till now he talked about people on a personal level. He talked about the chessboards. And now he's saying Hashem created a system in which we'll call it a very big tzaddik, can help other people. It gets more complicated than this, but that's because sometimes the tzaddik has to suffer, and the tzaddik has to get yisurin, just like sometimes I get yisurin, and that's machaper and my averus. So with this system, the tzaddik suffers yisurin. Other people's are theirs. That's what I was alluding to when I said it's not a very different religion. But it's Jewish, you know. This is it. Now, the Tzaddik Yisurin, it doesn't always work through Yisurin. Sometimes it works through Yisurin. And Because the less that is, are all connected. We're connected that a tzaddik's yisurin, if he takes it the right way, he is suffering, and that will be mechaper on someone else. How can that be? That's like you said, you should be saying. So why doesn't Hashem just make a freebie already instead of creating such a system? Why don't you just open the doors of Gan Eden and let everybody walk in? No. Oh my boy, okay. That won't happen. It can't happen. But this could happen because it does have a pshat. It has a spiritual logic to it. We don't, you know why we don't understand it so well? Because we don't really perceive this to be true. Because if I would say that my hand is going to enjoy Shabbos, if my head enjoys Shabbos, that we all understand. Well, of course, it's even a silly statement. Because if my brain, I'm enjoying Shabbos, so my hand is part of me, and my hand is enjoying Shabbos, okay? But that's the same statement as the Ramchal is making. He's just on a level that we have difficulty fathoming. We have difficulty perceiving it. Because we think of ourselves as different people. We don't hear, really. We don't perceive. We don't visualize that everybody in Bnei Yisrael is bound up together. Yeah.
So, if we're all bound up together, why doesn't the tzaddik pull everybody? Why does not collected in?
I don't know. I told you. I would like to think that the Ramchal is going to say it only works for the tzaddik's talmidim, for those in his sphere of influence. I know it doesn't work for everybody. He says, you will end up with a heck of a lot of people in Olam HaBa that don't deserve to be there on their own. Again, this is,
we don't know,
this is the way I understand the logic of it. Hashem wants a certain result. He wants most of us to go to Olam HaBa. He would be happy if all of us went to Olam HaBa. You can't just open the doors and say, come in, because that wouldn't be the best tova, and he has to create only the best tova. Hashem doesn't do anything in halfway measures. I'm going to say a sentence which is like a little like Christmas, you know, but not terrible. But Hashem's hands are tied. Hashem's hands are tied. He doesn't want to just open the doors of Olam HaBa and say, walk in. So his hands are tied. He has to do things in the best possible way. And in the best possible way, I have to deserve Olam HaBa. That's what Ramchal established in the first section. I have to deserve Olam HaBa. And he goes through all of these things that we've been learning these last few months about how to deserve Olam HaBa. And now we're being mechadish that there is another way of deserving Olam HaBa, which sounds like a freebie, but it's not. Now, it's not because, as I said, there's a spiritual physics which allows it to make sense. To me, it's a freebie. That's only because I think of myself as a separate person. And you say, boy, I'm a terrible person. Why am I going into Olam HaBa? Like, if I was after someone, Hashem could have just opened the door. So it's not like that. I admit that I don't know exactly why it's not like that. I would like the Ramchal to say it because I'm a Talmud of that person. Then I would understand it's not like that. I'm influenced by him. I'm inspired by him. I have bound myself up with him in so many different ways. I'm like his son. The Talmud is like a son. I haven't found that he says. So I don't know. So why doesn't the tzaddik just do it to everybody? Maybe then Hashem will just open the doors and let everybody in. There's obviously, you know, it's like, you study physics. I keep talking about physics because Physics is the study of how the natural world works. And in the last 500 years, there's an explosion of knowledge. And now they're looking at quarks and subatomic particles, and they're like seeing Namish how the world works, and it's mind-boggling how meductic everything is, how much minutia there is, and how everything is like. Then you get the uncertainty principle, right, which says that even after you figure everything out, then you begin to understand that you really can't understand. So in Ruchnius, I say, that's the equivalent in Ruchnius of saying that as much as we learn Ramchal and Mesil Sishorit and everything else, we still never really know why Hashem is doing anything. We can't really touch the mind of Hashem. So I think like the physical equivalent of that is that uncertainty principle, that sometimes they just don't act the way we would expect them to act. We don't know what's going on. And so I saw recently some really, like Einstein said, Hashem does not, well, he said Hashem, but not so clear he believed in the Hashem, even though like it's sort of unfathomable that a scientist that would see so much of the universe as he saw wouldn't believe in Hashem. Like, where do you think it all came from? Be that as it may, but the famous quote from Einstein, Hashem does not play dice with the world. This was the machlokus. If Einstein felt, ultimately you can explain everything. There's no uncertainty principle. It's sheker. It means we're just not catching it. We just have to figure it out. So his main chaylik was a physicist named, I don't remember his name. Maybe Bohr, B-O-E-H-R, somebody like that, something like that. Or maybe I have the name wrong and it's someone else. So his answer is not so famous. Einstein's statement, Hashem does, I refuse to believe that Hashem doesn't play dice with the world, is very famous. But this guy's answer, with chaylik on him, the answer is not so famous. His answer was, don't tell Hashem what to do. Maybe he wants to play dice with the world. So that's a good answer. It's a good answer. And we, who believe in Hashem, we learn all these Sfarim, and what we know that at the end of the day, we can't enter Hashem's mind. Hashem is unfathomable. Hashem is above us. Hashem is Ein Sof. We're learning these things. It's like, it really is like, we are like children. And as much as we know, when matched up against the reality, it's like a kid saying, well, when I flip the switch, the light goes on. What's the problem? Which is so childish and superficial and ridiculous. So as much as we learn, it's sort of childish and ridiculous. It's not ridiculous, it's just, because it's true that when you flip the switch, the light goes on. Right? It's not like a wrong statement. So everything we're learning, though, is really scratching the surface. Hashem is Ein Sof. His Chachma is Ein Sof. So why bother to learn it? I don't know. We have to do something on Sundays and Wednesdays. My father would learn Sharon Bitachon over and over and over and over again. I would do that. Yeah.
I was just
going to
say that. I'm not sure if this is the right way to say, but when I read this, I felt like it is not such a easy to attach yourself to a tzaddik. I think it's really hard to rely on the advice of a rabbi and counselors. It's hard for the human being to say, I know.
And that's why I wish he would say that this only works if you attach yourself to a tzaddik and you learn from him. He's your mentor. That's what I keep saying. I wish he would say that. Then my mind would be able to fathom how this works. But he doesn't say it. Maybe he meant it, he just didn't speak it out, I don't know. But he does stress. You see, I think our difficulty is that all of Klal Yisrael is one. And we have to l'recha kamocha. And we have to feel bound to every Jew. And we don't.
We do what we try. We try. Lately, we try to bask in the explosion of caring. There is Israel. We try. If there's a terrorist attack, has to show them someone that's not, doesn't dress like us, or doesn't think like us, or even if he's not strong. So we try. We certainly want to care. But, okay. In the world of the Ramchal, we have, again, think about it. The Ramchal really says this, to save the command is safer. What did I say? The Ramchal, you know? That was like 500 years before the Ramchal. Well, not 500, I'm sorry. What is it? 300 years before the Ramchal. 250 years before the Ramchal, Maral. And he says that every safer of the Maral, he's talking about how the Iker is not the individual, the Iker is Klal Yisrael, and everybody is bound together, and it's one Nefesh, and what everybody does affects everybody else, and we're all one, and Hashem, like it's one Nefesh, one big goof, and all the differences are all on a very... Once you get to this sphere, all of us there, so we have different bodies. But it's a mirage. It's really not like it. So I tell myself, so it is. It does make sense. So we don't know how much or how little. And it's obviously not a freebie, or as Hashem would have just simplified and made a freebie. And it can't be a freebie. No freebies. In the Lurkers then. So this must A, make sense, B, in some sense not be a freebie, C, it must be limited in some way, because or else I would just make the freebie. Okay, so we have to learn. Okay, so let's go like that. I mean, I spoke out what he was going to say in this whole paragraph. Seriously, look at the dollar. It's not absolute. Even a nibnib will be from those counted the kibbutz b'nei olam habah. Elegam mi shekavor yagiyu masor. I mean, you have to be at a certain madrega. You can't be like the bottom pit, terrible, horrible Russia with like a zero. You can't, like the EKG shows a flat line. You know, you can't, not that. He says, gam mi shekavor yagiyu masor. Someone whose actions are good enough that Shebihi Toluso Ba'acher, when he connects to someone else, Sakoi Bimenu, who's a bigger tzaddik than him, Yuchal Enos Bishlemos, Dine Yichoris Bichalahu, he's going to be in the economy, he's not going to go in business class, certainly not first class. You don't have to sit in economy class. You're still going to get to Olam Haba. Everybody gets to the destination. But, you know, if you've ever flown business class, you know what I'm talking about. I flew business class twice. Once, Oscar put me on business class because they wanted me to work the whole trip. And once, I got bumped up to business class. I don't know why. The plane was too full, and apparently I was a frequent traveler in those days. I don't know, they just put me in business class. So, anyway, that's the Venimsa Shalom Yitzchem and Ashleimus Lagabri. You know who's not going to end up. It's funny. To get into Olam Haba, you have to be perfect. That's like the most depressing sentence in the world. And now he's saying nobody will be pushed aside from being total Shleimus and being able to get into Olam Haba. Elmi, someone who's so bad, Shaloyia Roboy Lehonos Bo, Lomi Tarashmo, not from his own actions, but Lomi Tari Tulusu Mizuloso, he can't even like Velcro, there's not even enough left for him to attach himself to someone else, like there's nothing left. There's no sticky left. There's nothing, that was a bad example, maybe, take it. Like, there's no stickiness left. Through this, Hatzolah Beruba. This is great news. This is fantastic news, says the Ramchal. The year we Yosef Hananim. And there's going to be so many people now, crowding the gates of all of our bar. The business class, they'll be an economy, don't worry. They're not going to crowd you with a business class. They're not going to come crowded with a business class. They're going to be an economy. Maybe it'll be in the freight. Maybe it'll be in the hold of the plane. You don't know. But they're going to get there. The point is, they're going to get to the bar. And to get to the bar, you have to be perfect. The passport's going to be in order. The visa's going to be in order. The ticket's going to be in order. They're going to get to the destination and they're going to hold my book, you know. They might. Again, to us, this is a very important point. Yeah? To us, you know, if I get a hold of my book, I'll be happy. I don't care how I get in. Right? If I have to just, like, if I have to sit in the hole, I'll sit in the hole as long as I get there. But that's only because we have no concept of all of our book. Right. So we think it's like saying, if I have $2 million, I don't need $3 million. $2 million is enough. You know what? I'll make it easy on Hashem. $1 million is enough. But it's not like that. When you're in the world of Ruchnius, every move up is immeasurable pleasure. And if you're aware of it, we'll be gnashing our teeth that we didn't do more in Olam Hazeh to be on the higher level. It's like, you know, if I think I'm fit, don't worry, I don't. But if I think I'm fit and I feel good, but then someone puts me in an exercise regimen and I go, wow, now I really know what it means to feel fit. And so on and so forth. You move up and up till you know. And you can't even imagine why you thought that way before. Now, so, same thing here. So, a person that says, I'll be happy if I get to hold of my ball, I don't care how I get there, is not understanding the spiritual, eternal pleasure of hold of my ball, where every is limitless and amazing and mitzvahs and immeasurable. We don't even know how to describe it. Indescribable. So then will be very a lot of frustration. I don't know if that's the right word. We don't know what a neshama feels, what a neshama doesn't feel, but there'll be a lot of frustration, even though they're an older my boss. So now we say, just get me in. But then we won't be that way. Well, if I'm sitting in the hold of the plane or sitting in first class, you know. So you might think, as long as I got to my destination, who cares? It's not a good marshal, because the trip only takes 10 hours, and then you're the same as everyone else. But here we're talking about forever and ever and ever and ever, and you're always in the whole little plane, right? And this witness is ignoring you. She wants a drink of water. She's ignoring you. And meanwhile, they're serving, right, the biggest, fanciest steak in first place. Okay, Ulam. But don't make a mistake. He says, Ulam Hanenim, Mahanim, Acherim, those who benefit others, Vadei She'elu Yir, Hayosher, Nidolim, Mekibot Sahu. Of course, they're first class. They have more spirituality to them. They're connected with Hashem. Don't think that you drag along someone and he's going to be the same as you, and you worked your whole life to get on a certain Madrega, and he's getting what we may want to call a freebie. No. Hey, you are Russian. They'll be the heads. We don't know. It doesn't tell us what that means. But we know that it means immeasurable, undescribable, indescribable spiritual pleasure. But Srisham told us by him, you should go to Mohem with Srisham Mohem. They'll need them and they'll have to be subservient to them. We don't know. We don't know what it means, right? Doesn't mean he's going to serve me a cup of coffee whenever I want. What does it mean to be subservient to someone else in all of Hambo? We don't know. He doesn't tell us.
He had said that it wasn't going to be an embarrassment for the
Neshama.
Didn't he say that, like, in the beginning? That
Hashem
doesn't give things.
That's what I mean. That's why there's no freebie.
Right.
So you have to deserve it on some level. But the Neshama will be frustrated that it squandered the opportunity to deserve it on a higher level. What he said was, Hashem will not give a free. That will be totally embarrassing to the neshama. Here, the Neshama could always like take refuge in the fact that it deserved it, on whatever level it deserved it. He said you have to deserve to be attached to a bigot tzaddik. You have to deserve it. So I would describe it as frustration, not embarrassment, frustration over a squandered opportunity. Not embarrassment, but frustration. Okay. We stop running this way.
You
want to
come back
to Okay. I need a dose of Bitachon. Okay, we'll continue.